Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the ITN podcast with me, Gillian Gotzel. Today, we're going to hear all about access to cryptocurrencies on the African continent. And with me to talk about some of the issues and some of the movements is Becky Gumede, and I'm pronouncing that really badly, so I apologize, who is the head of operations for the Yellow Card South Africa. So Becky, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome, Jill. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so you tell me, how should I have pronounced your surname?
It's Gumede, so it's Gum and then E-D-E-E-D-E. Gumede.
Oh, that's Gumede. A lovely name, Gumede, Becky Gumede. Oh, that's a lovely, I so much prefer the way you pronounce it properly. Anyway, this is a serious business we're on to here, but it is actually, you're a huge character. We met at a conference earlier this year and I was very impressed by your energy and your enthusiasm. And part of that, I was on your LinkedIn profile today and you have this really good quote. You said, knowledge without positive action is a wasted effort. So that's really powerful. So tell me, Becky, a bit about your background and why you say that.
I say that just to start off with, I'd like to say, I say that because whenever we go out into the world to try and acquire knowledge, it's for a specific reason. We want to utilize that knowledge, in most cases, for our business, for ourselves, to empower ourselves. But in the grander scale of things, I always think one should always strive to gather knowledge to assist others rather than oneself. So if we gather knowledge and we go out to secular schools, we learn, we do all these sort of things to try and acquire this knowledge, and we don't share it with the people that definitely need it most or definitely deserve to get this knowledge that we've experience or we've learned on in the course of our life, then I do believe that it is a wasted effort having gathered that knowledge and not being able to share it with people.
That's a good analogy. So it's a bit background. Like an old hoarder, an old miser with all his gold yes. buried under, you know, under his bed or in the bank account. It's no good if it's not in use.
Definitely. My background, I do come from an IT background. Though I did take a different path in the past 6 years. Traditionally, I was working for Parastatal, working in the IT department as a business analyst, and also at a later stage, regional IT specialist for one of the biggest South African Parastatals, overseeing the IT department there. After I left secular employment, I started a journey of trying to find myself and how am I supposed to contribute in this world other than just trying to make a living. And it was in this journey, there were many pitfalls, which I will skip. There were many pitfalls in this journey, but it was this journey that led me to blockchain and cryptocurrency. Fortunately enough, I've partnered along this journey with many amazing companies and organizations which have really helped me to be where I am today.
Well, that's a good segue into my question I was going to ask you about blockchain and crypto. So when you first came across this technology and the monetary side of it, what did you think?
When I first heard about this, I thought, no, this is a gimmick. This is just not. I was exposed to cryptocurrencies before I was even aware of the technology behind cryptocurrencies. So when I heard about digital currency, digital money being mined, created out of servers and miners, that whole process was like a myth. It was like, man, these people are really pulling one over me. Needless to say, one at the inception of being involved in this space, one did fall prey to a lot of Ponzi's which were running rampant in my country, South Africa. South Africa has had its fair share of Ponzi schemes being run in the platform of cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin being the primary medium of those Ponzi's. So I did come across some, and fortunately was also a victim of those, which then later led me to trying to understand what is this cryptocurrency and blockchain technology about. So I started researching more, educating myself more, and actually involving with people who are already versed in this space. That's how I began my journey with cryptocurrencies and blockchain.
On your LinkedIn profile, it says you are a director in Africa for Project Education. Now, you already said knowledge learned but not shared is wasted. But Project Education, are you involved with schools or is it across community?
So what we do in Project Education, it's all about sustainable development goals. We are involved with transforming schools and teaching them about sustainable development goals, so that they themselves can actually do things to transform their communities, their areas, and initially their schools. So we involve a lot of schools, from preschool, from your eighth graders to high school, and even your tertiary institutions, universities and colleges. So we have enrolled them in our programs, and we really encourage the students and scholars to actually come up with things that will change their communities and make their communities better. It's better when solutions come from people who live within those communities, people who are affected by whatever problems those communities face. And we find that it actually makes the project or the programs much sustainable and successful because of that.
Wow, that's very powerful. Very powerful indeed. I hear that. So tell me now, okay, Yellow Card, you're head of operations for Yellow Card South Africa. What is Yellow Card and what does it do?
Yellow Card is a cryptocurrency exchange, much so like the big names which most people would be familiar with, like Binance. In South Africa, we've got a few which are our direct competition, like Luno, Alcon Trader, OVEX, and many others. So we are a new crypto exchange kid on the block. We've started in 2019. Primarily, we opened shop in Nigeria first before going throughout the rest of the African continent and obviously coming here in South Africa. South Africa for Yellow Card is our second biggest market. So I'm very excited to be part of this family and be part of this initiative where we are going out. Our business model is quite different from your traditional cryptocurrency exchange. Your traditional cryptocurrency exchange merely focus on people who are already aware and familiar with what cryptocurrency is. Whereas at Yellow Card, we target and we cater for low LSM. So we go to people who really don't have much, but can use this technology and can use our platform to transform their lives. So we go to people who earn as little as 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, which is equate to about a couple of hundred dollars in US. So we go to people who really need this. Mostly people use it for remittance services, for people who work out of their home countries. Like we've got a lot of people, a population or a diaspora population of people from Nigeria, Zimbabwe, Kenya, Ethiopia, here in South Africa. And those people work very hard to and need to transfer or send money back home. And it's usually a very troublesome and a very costly ways. The traditional remittance services that are currently available really cost them a lot. And at Yellow Card, we've made it very easy for the people. I say we're a different cryptocurrency exchange than your traditional because in every country that we are established in, we trade in their local currency. So we don't force people to merely use US dollar as their world currency. So in each country that we go into, if we go to Nigeria, we'll use the Naira. If we go to Ethiopia, you will use whatever currency that fiat currency that they are using there as a medium of exchange. So people can come into our platform, exchange their local currencies for any cryptocurrency and or Bitcoin. So that's one of the biggest difference of our offering and what I'm excited about.
So just to ask your question. So you're a cryptocurrency exchange, you're catering for local populations, which is very exciting. And then, so what coins do you, apart from the local fiat coins, what cryptocurrency coins do you support?
We support Bitcoin, Ether, and a couple of stable coins, Tether. We have a partnership that we've established of recently with our investors and funders, which is the Sila community. So we will also be offering, as of next week, CUSD. So that's the C dollar, Sila dollar, that we'll be offering on our exchanges. But within the next few weeks or months to come, we'll be holding quite a number of cryptocurrencies on the platform. It's just that we've just had a revamp, a new launch with our app, and we are forever adding these new altcoins into our platform.
How do you offer security? How can people be confident that you A, won't be hacked, or B, you won't run off with the money?
Our cryptocurrency exchange or our platform offers one of the highest security since we use a SegWit wallet, which is one of the highest form of security when it comes to cryptocurrency exchange. Yes, we are aware that hackers are forever trying to hack exchange and try and get people's money, but we've partnered with very big partners in the cryptocurrency space, and we can ensure that all our customers and people who put their money in our platform, that those funds are 100% secured and cannot be accessed by hackers or outside forces.
And I suppose if the exchange has been used to transfer of money, it's in and out. So people are not leaving the money sitting on the exchange, probably as a norm. It's a means of transfer.
In most cases, yeah. See, in the African continent, people don't use cryptocurrency as much as a store of value. They use it to be able to hedge against inflation in most cases. So whatever they earn, the little that they earn, they want to put it in a place where they know it's safe. It won't be devalued overnight, or nothing is going to happen. You know, you're not going to get a government overthrown and the entire money that they've got in the bank totally worthless within a space of 24 hours or a week. So most people use crypto and use our platform on a daily basis to transact and use those funds. So there are very few who actually use it as a store of value. We do encourage that. Some of our savings that we're going to be introducing within this year are going to be savings within the platform, where people will be able to save their crypto and interest on the funds that they've got.
Will that be a form of a DeFi, a decentralized finance, or what are you going to be offering?
We are currently evaluating a couple of options, but there is one of them that's on the table. It's just that we've got a couple of partners that we're in discussions with, and we haven't finalized our partnership, so it might be too early for me.
I can come back to you. Details. Yeah, back to that. One other question for you then is: so if I am somebody and I'm living and working in South Africa, and say, how do you run the issue if your people are using it? What if they're unbanked? How do they even put the local currency onto the exchange? How does that work?
Traditionally in Africa, we don't have a huge population of the unbanked. The unbanked that we currently are seeing in Africa are those from the communities of the diaspora communities, people who are not originally South African citizens. So because they are undocumented, some of them, they can't get bank accounts. So that's the huge population that we're seeing. So people are able to come and use our banking partner. Our banking partner being one of the biggest bank in South Africa, Standard Bank, biggest partners. They've got over 23,000 ATMs throughout the locations, throughout the urban, rural areas in South Africa. So they don't need to have a bank account. They can merely go and use ATMs to deposit money into Yellow Card's account using their cell phone number as reference. And we credit their Yellow Card account with the funds that they've debited. So that's one of the few ways that we've seen fit to try and assist those who are unbanked.
Brilliant. Wow. So, okay, this is very exciting. I love the fact it's local currency because, you know, goodness help the people who are earning small money. Do they need to be financial wizards then start transacting another, you know, that's like headache stuff.
Yeah, true.
And then also the ATM stuff, which makes it very simple. So they have cash in and they can get a credit through their banking partner. So what are your future plans? So you're looking at doing savings products going forward. Is there anything else on the roadmap that I want you need to know about?
Yes, we've got a couple of things. The biggest thing is our Yellow Card team is expanding phenomenally. Within a space of a year or two, our staff complement has grown from 10 people to over 70. So we are expanding in multiple African countries, trying to spread our footprint as much as we can to reach the rest of the African continent. So that's one of our biggest aim, to reach most of the African countries and service those countries where they are unbanked or are either using mobile money or other services of trying to get money to be exchanged to currency or other services. But one of our other biggest thing, we are forever updating and improving our platform. So one of the new things that we didn't have last year was we didn't support iOS, Apple. So as of this month, we've released a new app which supports Android and Apple. And we've also updated our web portal. And this has been done in a way that in every country that we are in, we have translated our platform to local languages. So people don't have to know or read English. Most people who might not have had formal education, even though they can't understand English, but mostly can certainly understand and read their local mother tongue. So this is one of the biggest features that I'm excited about to be part of, that we are translating our platform in local languages for people to have easy access into our platform and fully understand what the platform. We know that people, when they do things in their mother tongue, they are mostly comfortable and they fully enjoy the benefits of using that service or platform. It's because they understand it better, because it's easier to understand in their mother tongue.
Brilliant. That makes a lot of sense. Again, you know, as someone speaking from here in Ireland, where it's a Western economy, I don't have to think about, you know, exchanging my money. If I earn my money, it's in a bank, I can access it. It's the same currency. And true. Nor do I need to read foreign languages, because we're notoriously bad here in Ireland at other languages. Yes. So, yes. You know, these things we take for granted. You know, why is it so much harder? Oh, it sounds amazing. I am so glad to have reconnected with you, Becky. Thank you so much for your time. And let's come back at a later stage when you got more news to talk about the savings products you're going to be offering people. It's amazing.
Certainly. Certainly, I look forward to that, Jill. And thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure meeting you. It's a pleasure reconnecting with you again.
Thank you indeed. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. Check back every day for the latest episode. You can follow us on Twitter @Irish_TechNews, on Facebook, facebook.com/IrishTechNews, on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-Tech-News, on Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie, and on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.